I'm Rachel Martin. You probably know how interview podcasts with famous people usually go. There's a host, a guest, and a light Q&A. But on Wildcard, we have ripped up the typical script. It's a new podcast from NPR where I invite actors, artists, and comedians to play a game using a special deck of cards to talk about some of life's biggest questions. Listen to Wildcard wherever you get your podcasts, only from NPR.
Live from NPR News, I'm Giles Snyder. Amid the ongoing protests against the war in Gaza, hundreds of people have been arrested at a number of college campuses. The arrests now top 900 after nearly 300 were detained over the weekend. NPR's Brian Mann is at Columbia University, where protests sparked demonstrations around the country.
This is really coast to coast now over the weekend. On Friday, we saw police move in to break up an encampment at Arizona State University. Saturday, dozens more students arrested at Washington University in St. Louis. And yesterday, at UCLA's campus in Los Angeles, pro-Palestinian activists scuffled with pro-Israeli demonstrators.
Columbia University's president issued a statement a short time ago saying the school has no intention of suppressing free speech or the right to protest, but also urging those in the encampment to disperse voluntarily. The latest protest is expected at Rutgers University in New Jersey. Students there are planning a rally for this afternoon. Humanitarian aid group World Central Kitchen says it will resume operations in Gaza after seven of its workers were killed in an Israeli airstrike earlier this month. NPR's Becky Sullivan reports from Tel Aviv.
The group said, quote, "We continue to grieve and mourn the loss of the seven staff members who were killed in the Israeli airstrike on an aid convoy on April 1st. The strike triggered international criticism of Israel's military, which later admitted it had been a grave mistake. World Central Kitchen also said it's finalizing construction on a third major kitchen in the Mawasi neighborhood of southern Gaza, a facility they'll call Damien's Kitchen, in honor of one of the staff members killed in the strike. In total, the group says it has distributed more than 43 million meals in Gaza so far, which it says makes the Gaza mission the most life-saving work in the 14-year history of the organization. Becky Sullivan, NPR News, Tel Aviv.
Opening statements are starting today in a hearing that will determine whether Amazon illegally interfered in a union election at one of its warehouses more than 2 years ago. Federal labor officials already found evidence to support the union's accusations. Stephen Pasaha, the Gulf States newsroom, reports that this could lead to a third election at the warehouse in Bessemer, Alabama.
This is not the first time Amazon is being accused of interfering with a union election. In fact, the election being investigated was already a redo after labor officials found Amazon tainted the first vote at this Bessemer facility back in 2021. The union says Amazon illegally surveilled workers and threatened to close the warehouse if the union won. Today's hearing will also investigate Amazon's accusation that the union was the one that interfered. The election was too close to call, so the hearing will decide whether to count challenge ballots in the final result. Witness testimony is scheduled to start this week, and the hearing is planned to last into July. For NPR News, I'm Stephen Pasaha in Birmingham, Alabama.
And you're listening to NPR News. On Capitol Hill, House and Senate negotiators have come to an agreement to reauthorize the Federal Aviation Administration. The House approved a bill reauthorizing the FAA last summer, but the Senate Commerce Committee rejected a provision that would have increased the airline pilot retirement age. The deal announced today leaves out that provision. Scotland's first minister stepped down today. Hamza Yousaf resigned. Rather than face a no-confidence vote in Scotland's devolved regional parliament, after he ended a power-sharing deal between his Scottish National Party and the Scottish Greens last week. In Spain, after 5 days of speculation, Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez says he will not resign following corruption allegations against his wife. People who climb stairs each day seem to have a much lower risk of dying from heart disease, NPR's Allison Aubrey reports.
At a time when less than half of adults get the recommended amount of exercise, the data show that those who climb 6 to 10 flights of steps a day have a reduced risk of strokes and heart attacks and tend to live longer compared to people who don't take the stairs, says study author Dr. Sophie Paddock of the University of East Anglia.
Stair climbing is quite a practical form of physical activity that should be easily integrated into people's day-to-day routines.
Paddock and her collaborators reviewed data from about 480,000 participants. About half were women. She says the findings fit with a body of evidence pointing to the benefits of moderate intensity aerobic exercise. Allison Aubrey, NPR News.
And I'm Giles Snyder. This is NPR News.
Listen to this podcast sponsor-free on Amazon Music with a Prime membership or any podcast app by subscribing to NPR News Now Plus at plus.npr.org. That's plus.npr.org.